look over the sheet, I just should say I'm not quite doing the introduction that I thought I was going to do. But today is the last in a little series in which we've been looking at stories Jesus told, which explode everything we think about religion and about God. And you'll find today's story in Luke chapter 18, verses 4 to 19. It's page 740 of the Bibles that are scattered. This is my fault. Luke chapter 18. What did I say? I think I read out the wrong verses. 9 to 14, page 740. One of our principles at Emmanuel is we try everything once. So instead of someone reading the passage in a kind of traditional way, we're going to show a cartoon of the passage, which should magically appear on the screen in a moment. So can I just say, if you're colouring sheets at the moment, just pause and watch the cartoon. Because on the screen, you'll get the Bible reading, you'll get the whole story of which you are colouring in little episodes. So let's see if this works.
Some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. But everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
And before we look at it together, let's pray and let's ask for the Lord's help. Oh, gracious God, we thank you that your love is the best love. And we pray now as we look at this story that Jesus told together, we pray that by your Spirit you would open our eyes and melt our hearts, that we would see again what your love is like. That we would go on our way this afternoon rejoicing at how good you are, how good it is to be loved by you. Amen. If he was telling the story today, it might have gone something like this. Matt and Steve went to church one afternoon. Matt knew his way around. Ah, Matt, lovely to see you. Matt had been part of the church all his life. He grew up through mini junior church, graduating to junior church, onto the youth group. At school, Matt had led the Christian Union. And then he had gone away to university, he had trained as a doctor, and now he's moved back to his home church. And as you can understand, his parents are very proud of Matt. He was a really good doctor, and he still found time to lead a small group and help at the food bank on Thursday nights. Matt knew his Bible very well. He was always downloading the talk from the latest big Christian conference. It was great to have Matt around. Great to see you, Matt. And he made his way to his usual seat, quite near the front, Bible under his arm. Always brought his own Bible, liked to underline the bits that particularly struck him. And as he sat down, he made sure he said a kind of last hello to everyone around him whom he knew. And then he sat down and he bowed his head, shut his eyes tight for a few moments to pray. It's what he'd seen his dad do. And in walked Steve. Steve couldn't really remember the last time he'd been to church. So he'd hovered round outside. In fact, he was working up courage to come in. That's what had made him late. And as he makes his way to a seat somewhere at the side, he's thinking, how will I know what to do? When to stand up and sit down? And then he remembers that bit of paper he was given on the way in. And he looks at it and he goes, oh, what am I meant to do with this? This piece, what is this? Oh, no, it's words for songs. He's going to have to sing. He says, I don't know any of these songs. And as Steve sits down, Matt sees him. And Matt thinks, it can't be. That's Steve. I was at school with Steve. Steve was the roughest guy in the whole year. He was a nasty piece of work. In the end, they had to expel Steve. And Matt had heard that after he dropped out of school, he'd got in with a bad crowd and he'd been in and out of prison. And so Matt prays. And he prays, oh God, I thank you that I am not like Steve, that I made something of my life. He's thinking, what is Steve doing here? And the truth was, Steve didn't really know what he was doing here. Last night there'd been a fight at home. He'd gone down the pub to find some of his mates, but he realized he didn't really have mates, not real mates. There were people he pulled scams with, but all of a sudden, he felt very alone. And he looked back down the years and the mess he'd made of his life and the people he had hurt. And he just felt dirty and ashamed. And Steve just hunched up and tears welled up in his eyes. Oh, God, he said, help. The question for today is, who is right with God? Who is accepted by God as his friend? Who gets God's thumbs up? Yes, I want you to be with me forever. And who gets God's thumbs down? Is it people like Matt? Or people like Steve? So Jesus tells this story, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Let's have a good look at the Pharisee and the tax collector. Let's get you both up on stage so we can look at you carefully. The Pharisee is someone whom you would think of as a pretty good man. And the truth was, he's someone who thought of himself as a pretty good man. He was like a doctor, really. He spent the week helping people, and then on Sundays he even came to church. So he was pretty sure he must be one of God's friends. The tax collector, well, in those days, a tax collector is sort of person you would think of as pretty bad. Sort of man who worked for the enemy, who took money off his own people, who took advantage of the poor. You think of him like a politician, but think of him as something like a drug dealer. So one man's quite good, one man quite bad. Which man left church as God's friend? The answer is in verse 14. Have a look with me at verse 14. Do you see it? I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. Justified means right with God. Friends with God. Do you see what Jesus is saying? The tax collector went home friends with God, not the Pharisee. It was Steve, not Matt. And we say, how can that be? The tax collector was bad. Why wasn't God angry with him? And the Pharisee was good. Why wasn't God pleased with him? Well, let's look at these characters in more detail. Let's look at the differences between them. First difference, which should appear on the screen. Yeah, look at that. The Pharisee compares himself with others. The tax collector compares himself with God. So do you see, Mr. Pharisee strides into the temple, right up the front, and you look at, see at verse 11, he stood up and prayed about himself. It's brilliant, isn't it? He looks like he's talking to God, but really he's talking about himself. He's saying, I want everyone to listen in. I want everyone to hear about me. And I want everyone to know I am not like other men, especially not like that tax collector. And he says, here are the reasons why I'm not like other men. Here are the reasons why I'm better than everyone else. Do you see verse 12? I fast twice a week. Fasting is when you go without food. So perhaps instead of lunch, you might spend some time praying. And the Old Testament said you only had to do that once a year. So he's thinking, all these people, they fast once a year. I fast twice a week. That is 103 times a year beyond the call of duty. And he thinks that means he is better than they are. And he thinks the better you are, the higher up the ladder you get. And the higher up the ladder you get, the more chance you've got of being friends with God. So, Mr. Pharisee, get up that ladder. He goes on. He says, I give a tenth of all I get. See, that tax collector takes money, but I give money to charity. So well done, Mr. Pharisee. Up you go again, up the ladder. Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's doing? He's looking down on other people in order to lift himself up. So what he's doing is saying, look, I'm not as bad as them, so I must be good. I am higher up the ladder than they are, so I must be friends with God. And of course, the danger is we laugh at Mr. Pharisee, and we pray, I thank you, God, that I am not like the Pharisee. Oh. We do just what the Pharisee is doing, though, don't we? We look down on other people, down on politicians and rioters and phone hackers and children at school who mess around in class, people at work who fiddle their expenses. We even look down on people at church who don't get involved. We look down on others because we want to lift ourselves up so that we can say, we are not like them. We don't bully people at school or cheat at work. We've raised a good family. We give to charity. We make meals for those who are sick. We are higher up the ladder than they are. So we must be right with God. But friends, if I compare myself with other people, I will always find someone I can look down on. There's always someone I can point the finger at and say, well, I'm not as bad as them, so I must be good. I must be God's friend. But here is the thing, the danger of looking down is I never look up. So busy looking down, I never look up. And Jesus says the issue is not how do I compare with other people, but how do I compare with God? So there I am saying, well, of course, I'm better than everyone else. That is an incredibly proud thing to say. Look up at God, and God says he opposes the proud. Take a step down, Mr. Pharisee. And there I am, judging all these people behind their backs. Look up at God. What does he say? He calls me not to judge others. Take a step down, Mr. Pharisee. And there I am, so angry at these people, I wouldn't dream of going up to them, and talking to them, and finding out about them. Look up at God, and God calls me to welcome the outsider. You've not done that, Mr. Pharisee. Take a step down, Mr. Pharisee. You see what's happened? See, look down, compare ourselves with everyone else. We might think we're better than most people. We're up high. We lift ourselves up. But look up, compare ourselves with God, and it brings us down. We're all on the same level. It humbles us. And that's what we see in the tax collector. Look at verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He couldn't bring himself to look up. It's like you can't look someone in the eye when you're ashamed. And he beats his breast. It's a sign of it. He's in agony. So aware of how he's messed up, it hurts him. And he prays, you see what he prays? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee's talking to everyone else. The tax collector's talking to God. His focus is on God. Even though he can hardly look up to heaven, the point is, the only person he's thinking about is God. That's why he feels so ashamed. And the point is, when you look up to God, you see the truth about yourself. And he sees that God is kind. And this tax collector realizes that he's been mean. And he sees that God is fair. And this tax collector realizes he's been unfair. Sin is when we go against God. And the tax collector sees that that is what he's done. He's gone against God. And so he prays, Lord, I could find someone worse than I am to look down on. But when I look up at you, I'm painfully aware that I am a sinner. People don't like this very much, do they? People sometimes think that admitting that they are a sinner will be unhealthy. Actually, what's unhealthy is pretending we're fine. It's the people like Mr. Pharisees who live in fear of being found out. They're the ones who can't sleep at night. I know freedom starts when we start to admit the truth. And that's what the tax collector does. So that's the first difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee compares himself with others. The tax collector compares himself with God. Look at the second difference up on the screen. The Pharisee asks for nothing. The tax collector asks for mercy. See, what does the Pharisee ask for? Did you see anything that he asked for? Absolutely nothing. Doesn't need God's help. He's fine. Doesn't need to ask God for anything. He's fine. The tax collector asked for mercy. In his work, I expect he was used to people asking him for mercy. Perhaps someone who owed him a lot of money would come up to him and say, look, I can't afford to pay this money. Please, would you have mercy on me? Don't make me pay. And now the tax collector's crying out to God. He's saying, for all my sins, please, God, have mercy on me. Don't make me pay. And that is a prayer God always answers. Because that's the whole reason he sent his son into our world. Our sin means we owe God. But how could we ever pay him back for all we've done? How could we pay him back? But in his mercy, he gave us his son. And on the cross, Jesus died our death to pay off our debt. So we cry, Lord, don't make me pay. And he says, I won't make you pay. There's no need for you to pay. Because your sin has been paid for on the cross. That's how much our God wants us to be friends with him. So much that he gave his own dear son. I guess the reason we think like Mr. Pharisee is partly because we think God's love is like everyone else's love. We live in a world where you have to pay for people to love you. So if you get in the team, if you pass all your exams, if you look beautiful, then people will love you. And then when we mess up, we think, well, they're not going to love me now. And Jesus says again and again, God's love is not like that. That's why we sang, God's love is the best love. God is merciful. Friends, do you know that? God is merciful. See, we think he's saying the whole time, well, now you've messed up, you better pay back. You better be good. You better come to church. You better read your Bible. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, all that you owe me is paid for by Jesus on the cross. So whoever we are, whatever we have done, he longs to show us mercy because he longs for us to be his friends. So do you see the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector? It's not that the tax collector was good and that's why he went home friends with God. He wasn't good. They're both pretty bad. The difference was that the tax collector asked for mercy. Guys, thank you very much for your help. But just before we stop, we should just tidy up some of the mess around here. It'd be great help to me if you could just put these tents back in the various bags. Sorry, just don't mind us while we're doing this. If you just fold them up, just those pop-up tents, just fold them up and pop them in the bag. That'd be great. Just chat amongst yourselves while we sort this out. Set to just. Yeah. Okay. What about you, Mr. Tax Collector? So just stick it in the bag, that's great. Just, sorry about this, everyone. Just.
Mark, I was wondering, I can't actually do it. Do you think you can help?
Yeah, sure. Animals, young children, or pop-up tents. I practiced all morning. Anyway, what was the difference between Theo and Ed? Was Ed any better at folding up the pop-up tent than Theo? No. What was the difference? He asked for help. Imperfect. Because when you ask the Lord for help, he is actually able to help. The tax collector goes home friends with God, not because he was better than the Pharisee, not because he was good, but he asked for help. He asked for mercy. And the Pharisee goes home enemies with God, not because he's bad, but because he was too proud to ask for help. He thought he was fine. It's a very dangerous thing. Some people come to church for years and years and years, and they have never asked for help. They have never asked for mercy. They're just too proud to ask. They think they are fine because they think they're better than other people, so they must be good, must be friends with God. But they've never asked. Now, I can't see into people's hearts, obviously, but if you've never asked for mercy, if you've always thought you're good enough for God, today would be a great day to ask him for mercy, to say, Lord, don't make me pay for my sin. And if you ask him that, that is a prayer he will always answer. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? You could come here this afternoon, not friends with God, not really knowing God. You could go home friends with God, now and forever. Be a great day, wouldn't it? Be a great day if you did that. So let me say this. If you'd like to find out more about what that means, I'd love to help. Do come and talk to me over tea. If you're someone who's in junior church, I've got a little booklet that I'd love you to take away and perhaps read at home. If you're someone who's a bit too old for junior church, I've got a different sort of booklet that I'd love to give you that you might want to read at home. But for now, let's pray. Lord, we come before you and admit that we are people who need your mercy. We need your help. And we thank you that you are a God of mercy. We thank you that you don't make us pay for our sins. Because in your Son, our sins have been paid for. And we pray that your mercy would be very precious to us today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. As ever, let's just take a moment of quiet just to reflect on some of these things. You may want to talk them through with the person next to you, but don't bounce the people next to you. If they'd rather just think it through by themselves, let them do that. There's a couple of questions on the screen that will help us to do that. And it may be that as you sit there, you've got a question you'd like to ask. So if you're feeling brave, either stick your hand up and I'll come around with the microphone in a moment, or perhaps write your question down on a scrap of paper and give it to someone next to you to read out. If you just have a question that's arisen, particularly if you're in junior church, and you think, well, I'd like to ask a question, make sure that question is asked. So let's just take a moment to reflect on these things, brew up our questions. Question I'd like to ask. I see someone pointing down here. Who's got a question? Have you got a question you'd like to ask? Do you want to ask it? What? Oh, you've forgotten it. I know that happens. I know that's so easy to happen, isn't it? Anyone else got a question they'd like to ask? Well, if you've got one, who's got one here? Okay, Ben's happy, but Mark's got, have you got a question you'd like to ask? I'll come to you in a moment.
Do you think that in each and every one of us there's sometimes a tax collector and a Pharisee, a younger and an older brother?
Yes, did everyone hear the question? That's probably right, isn't it? It's too simple to say, we're just Pharisees or we're just tax collectors. Jesus is just pointing out the tricks our own heart plays on us. And sometimes, like the tax collector, we might think, oh, we're not welcome at this place because church is only for good people, and we feel very uncomfortable. And to tax collectors, God says, no, you are welcome. And sometimes we're like Pharisees, and we think, oh, of course, we're fine. You know, we're right with God because we're better than all these other people. So there might be different times in our lives when we veer over towards one or the other. But the message is the same. The way to be friends with God is ask for mercy. And that's good news if you're a tax collector, and it's kind of humbling if you're a bit of a Pharisee. If you've got more questions, let's talk over tea. But for now,